Peace be with all of you. Today, we want to come to terms with the harshness of our faith. So when I prepare this message, when we want to emphasize one thing, we need to go back to a very balanced foundation and belief. Today's message is to restore us to a balanced idea of faith. Now, the harshness of faith is not just because of our own weakness, but our sinful nature sometimes make us very hard to lead our faith living. But today, we are not just talking about such a reality. Now, some of us, we are baptized. And so we look forward to the day of baptism. And after the end of baptism class, and after baptism, it's like one event is over, then we are happier. And after that, we still have things for us to face. So even such thinking is brought about by sinful nature because we keep wanting to avoid suffering. Yet when we live in this world, when we want to face our faith, we have to understand that after we believe in the Lord and we lead our faith living, what we quickly want to receive is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will tell us what is the path of faith. It's not just talking about the world, sin or Satan. It's not just the devil will deceive us or persecute us. But our faith itself, for example, when we come to church worship, for example, after believing in Jesus, the wife must submit to the husband, and the husband must love the wife with his life. And this itself is not easy. So there's something difficult within this. For us to give our tithes to God, for us to love people and have compassion on them. Now, these are very basic things of the Christian faith. But yet, these are difficult things to do. So those of us who live in this world, usually we will not find that all these things are enjoyable. And usually we will think that if we have a good faith, then all these things are what we can enjoy by right. Of course, when our faith grows, we can more easily see fruit. Now, if we can find satisfaction in God in all things, that is good. But the kind of glory, the kind of satisfaction that we perceive is not by our definition. The satisfaction and glory in God is sometimes from the angle of God. It is to be in union with Christ. So how Christ suffered, so we also will suffer. Now this is the glory that God has determined. So why is it that we believers, when we serve the Lord, we can feel the privilege and honor? It's not just because we have done it and then we have seen certain effects and we feel the honor. But sometimes, even if it is without fruit, but we know that this is a sacrifice which is pleasing to God. So when we have done it, we know we have pleased the Lord. And so in our heart, we are satisfied. And we can see God's glory in our hearts. So the difficulty of faith is there. But if we can come to terms with the harshness of faith, then from then on, We will see true growth in our faith. Now, Christian faith is not just all about difficulty, but today our emphasis is on this part, the harshness of the Christian faith. So part of Christian faith is harsh. So let's read certain verses. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Now many of us are familiar with this. Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now this follow Jesus comes with a sense of denying oneself. So the moment we are born again and we are saved, we call our Lord as our Lord and Savior. So He is our Savior, He is also our Master. So we are not ourselves anymore. Verse 24, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." So when we talk about carrying our cross, it's not just to endure suffering, because this cross is to die. It's a symbol of death sentence. So in other words, you are no longer yourself. You have to deny yourself. You lose your own rights. You totally have to surrender under the authority of Christ. So you need to come out from all the authorities of the world. You also need to come out from all sin and slavery to sin, or all kinds of slavery, and now you follow the Lord. And you follow the Lord every day carrying your cross. And what this means is you are also saved every day. So that kind of faith is daily redeeming us. So to carry the cross is not just an action. What it wants to say is it is death to every way of our living. Of course, we do not purposely seek out suffering. When Jesus was about to face his punishment, Jesus also prayed to God, "God, if possible, please take away this cup from me." So no one person or we also shouldn't be inviting suffering for ourselves. But if God wants us to go through certain suffering, we must know how to face it. So we have to understand that we are humans. Humans are humans. We are just mortal beings. So we have to let God be God. We have to fear God. So I realize that some believers, if they encounter certain problems, for example, if they have certain illness in their body, or maybe when they face certain difficulties, now if you are born again and you face the Lord, and if your entire life belongs to God, and you know that there's not one thing that is not permitted by God, so the first thing that you will do is, I realize in my life is, every time when I encounter difficulties and troubles or illness, amazingly, in my heart, I will pray, "God, is there any sin in me? Is there any problems in me? Is there any gaps or loopholes in my life?" And so God will instruct me. But the problem is, I realize, I'm not sure whether it's like that, but fewer and fewer believers, they have such understanding. Why is that so? What is it meant by fearing God? What does it mean by let God be God? So just now, the verses we read, we read that we always bring the death of Christ so that the life of Christ can be manifested through our lives. So sometimes, after being a Christian, we know our entire goal of life and direction of life is for the kingdom of God. We are living for another believer. So this harshness is redemptive. Let me explain. So this harshness, to take up the own cross, is for this in order to help another person not to suffer. There's profound meaning in this. Now, Jesus Christ, He suffered so that in order for us saints not to suffer. Why is it that believers have to suffer? Why must we have this harsh faith? In order to save another person, in order to benefit another person. So there is certain redemptive purpose in this. Of course, sometimes God gives us certain difficulties, because later on God will give us prosperity. So in order that we are not stumbled, so God gives us certain difficulties so that we can be refined to overcome the temptations. But it's not just that. Sometimes when God gave us continuous suffering, that is because God said that His power is manifested all the more in weaknesses. And that is to humble us also. But there's another reason, which is what I mentioned just now. In order to redeem, in order to help another person. Otherwise, for what other purpose are we living on earth? Are we just living to enjoy the earthly life? It's not just to enjoy. We live this life for the sake of another person. After we believe Christ, the first person we think about is our family members, who can receive grace, who can be saved also. So faith itself, this is humiliation in the eyes of the people of the world. But to believers, this is in fact to carry our cross daily to follow the Lord. This is for the kingdom of God. So such a person may look humiliated in the eyes of the world, and such a person may appear to be suffering, but his life is always with cheer and joy and with peace and glory of God. So this is paradoxical. And what else? No, Christian faith is harsh in the sense that even after we are regenerated, but because we have to build up our faith, it is not so easy. As I lead my own faith living, a lot of times I think I am right. Then as I speak more, then I realize I'm wrong in everything. There's many things I need to adjust. I need to tear down and build up. Let's take a look at certain verses from the book of Luke chapter 9 also. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, He said to His disciples, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them so that they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask Him about it. So at this moment, of course, the ordinary person, when they see the miracles of Jesus, they see the benefits, they see prayer answers, ordinary people will think that this is something good. But Jesus told the disciples that they must not see things as what the people of the world see it. And He told them another thing instead. They say that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. Now, More important than performing miracles is to make a person go through dying and resurrecting to believe in the Lord. So Jesus told the disciples to understand, but yet the disciples couldn't understand at that moment. So faith needs to go through death and resurrection. Then verse 54. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Saying that you do not know what your heart is. Actually, God called Elijah to judge King Ahab. Because with the whole authority of Israel, he wants to eliminate evil. But right now, what Jesus wanted to tell them is, you must not use violence to retaliate evil. Because Jesus come not to destroy, but to save. So sometimes we talk too much about sin, we only talk about judgment, but we did not know that God's intention is to make a person know their sin, repent, and so that they can find redemption. So sometimes when you talk too much on one thing or another thing, we cannot find the essence of faith. So all these verses wanted to tell us another thing. Is we need to be someone spiritual. We do not just memorize certain verses or quote some verses. Some people say, why is it so difficult to have quiet time? Because quiet time itself, sometimes during quiet time, after reading a few verses, people just become drowsy. And this is related to our sinful nature. And so we need to quiet down and be enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and we need to deny ourselves and take up our cross, and we need to examine what happened recently. We need to face the Lord and open our heart. Maybe it's not what we want to read. It's not the conviction we want to read on our own, but we need to read about other things. So sometimes when you read the Bible, I color and highlight my Bible with many beautiful colors. Now I didn't do that. Because sometimes when I do that, what you highlighted or what you didn't highlight, maybe that is also the important verses. We need to absorb the full word of God, all the words of God. Because what you want to receive is not the kind of faith or belief that you yourself wanted. So in order to build up your faith, it is not so easy. So some people, after believing in the Lord, they went astray in the gospel. Sometimes in terms of their selfish desires, they went astray. But many a times, it's not just because of that. But many a times, for example, they over-focus on what is the right doctrine or the right theology or correct truth. And when you overemphasize on that, his entire heart and mind just get into rationality and knowledge. And when that happens, he didn't get to know the gospel, but he received another thing, that is pride. And so we must always be careful of such a thing. On the other hand, some people, they get into a lot of emotions. So they want to experience a life, and we have to understand that human experiences will change. So if we only find certain emotional or sensational breakthrough, then we will realize that we may face another faith crisis. So both of these are the certain loopholes of our faith. And we ourselves think that this is progression in our faith, but actually we think it on our own. We think that to have more knowledge, to have more emotions, it will make us stronger. And so we are just revolving in that area. But what we need to depend on is our Lord Jesus Christ, what He has fulfilled. Do not find knowledge. Do not look for just a certain ease or comfort in your heart. We need to go back to what God says and what God Himself accomplished. Another thing is, something that is difficult in following Christ is when we want to follow Christ, we cannot allow delay. Now, if we open the scriptures and read the Bible carefully, we will know that we always make ourselves very comfortable, telling ourselves that there is still time, there is still time. But when I read the Bible, it is not like this. When we read the book of Acts, or when we read the four Gospels, now Jesus is always on the rush. So the Bible keeps telling us that there is this urgency. And so let's turn to another verse. All these are from the book of Luke, chapter 9. Jesus replied, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. So He has this headache, no pillow. So meaning it's uncomfortable. So He has to depart from east. And verse 60, Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." So this sounds very harsh, but there's a certain truth in it. Now, if the Father is alive, that means, that could mean that you have to take care of the Father till He passed away. Now, if the Father is already dead, now, we may find it shocking why He cannot even arrange the burial for the dead. Isn't that okay? Why is it wrong? But maybe there's another meaning. Perhaps the person, after going back to the funeral, maybe the person wants to get certain inheritance. But no matter what, the reality that Jesus demands is you cannot wait. Things of this world, you have to let things of this world take care of itself. So whatever in this world, those who are about to die, those who have not yet repented, let them take care of all those things. Of course, when Jesus said that, it is not without human love, but He wants to bring out a reality. So when we read the Bible, we must know that there's certain emphasis in the Bible. So we cannot just read the Bible and then use it to criticize people. Because between us humans, if we talk about sin, we are best at pointing out people's sin. So we can point out sins very easily. We are experts in doing that. So the Bible tells us that when you are with one another, you need to cover each other's sin. And that is what is known as love. So faith itself tells us that there is this urgency to learn things of the faith. Do not talk too much about right or wrong, but learn more about faith. You must be more blessed. And so when you're more blessed in the church, you realize that some people, they are not so fast. And when you rush to serve, some people will say, "Why is it so fast?" And then there will be divisions. And so sometimes when you do too much or too fast, some people will be hurt. Of course, sometimes we need to pay attention because within our serving, we are serving of life. We are serving life. So we cannot just focus on tasks. Perhaps in the midst of this, certain shepherding can take place. But coming back, when we serve in the ministries of God and the gospel, this is very fast because when is Jesus coming? We do not know when He's coming back. A pastor, he took care of many elderly. He's the youngest in the church and he said something. He always sent this elderly away to heaven. So he faced a truth. He realized that some people really face accidents. We do not know for sure what will happen tomorrow. So sometimes when there are conflicts, God also permits that conflict to happen. So these are the difficulties within the faith. So why? Because during such moments, then we can reflect. Is what we want our comfort? Or do we just want people to understand us? Or do we really want the advancement of God's kingdom? What you value is the benefits you derive from others, or what you really want is the glory of God and the advancement of God's ministries. So faith itself, besides sin, world, and Satan, there are also other harshness. Now, when you realize these difficulties of faith, it will give you strength, in fact. And so that leads me to my point two, main point two. Because when we face our faith, we can be strengthened. But how? So the harshness of faith will compel us to follow close to God. Now many churches and nations, countries, now the church is full of people, and during peaceful times of a nation, usually, they will surely distort the word of God. So today, when I bring out this point, is to tell us not to believe God half-heartedly or just view God's word anyhow in our spirit. No, the word of God is like a personality for us to respect and revere. We must not depend on our own experiences. We need to follow God closely, and we must not underestimate Satan and his work, and we must not underestimate we must not underestimate the effect of sin in our life. We may not overcome everything, but you will realize that to overcome Satan and sin, you need every little bit of strength you have to fight all of them. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 22. You can refer to your Bible. Luke chapter 22. Jesus said, "Peter, Peter, the devil wants to get you and sieve you." Like sifting wheat. Now, sifting wheat is something very easy to do. It's like a piece of cake. So the devil to deceive us is very easy. But Jesus said, "But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you turn back, strengthen your brothers." So Jesus prayed in this way for Peter. But Peter replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." So Peter still did not know. He still thinks he can depend on his will, power. But Jesus said, "Peter, I tell you, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." So when we face our faith, we cannot depend on our own understanding. We cannot think that I've already prayed, I already understood, or I've already read, or I've already done my best. You cannot say that you have done your best. You may have done your best if people cares for you, show you concern, or if brethren beside you look for you, you may be discouraged yourself, but you still have to press on. But there is the voice of God. We must not reject the voice of God. Now, Satan is best at being hypocritical. Now, the most fake thing about this passage that we just read is Peter thought that he can do it. Now, even if you have heard a lot of sermons or messages, because I've known many people who I've known certain people who have heard many good sermons. They have heard a lot of good messages from good pastors, but strangely, in their life, there are still certain areas which are not perfect. So someone said, everyone needs to be accountable for himself before the Lord. Why must I be responsible for the person beside me? That person also should be responsible for himself before God. Now, when I hear someone say this, I feel very strange. I feel this sounds very strange. Now, God has placed my brother beside me. Do I not have responsibility to care for the person or love my brother? And when he has done wrong, don't I have the responsibility to speak the truth in love? So, in our life, we have this very strange hypocrisy. And so the devil is very good at being hypocritical. And now this is happening in Apostle Peter. There's no way he could be humbled. I mean, there's no way Peter is humble. And so sometimes when we think about the things of the world, sometimes a person still desire for things of the world, and so their mind is always concerned about worldly things. So the worldly success that they perceive may affect them. So maybe Peter at this moment thought that he is confident of his self. He just cannot imagine there's any reason why he could be weak. But such a person, immediately, like Peter, he will fall immediately. So we have to open our own hearts. We have to read the Word of God again and again. And brothers and sisters beside us, sometimes they may provoke us, they may not understand us, but sometimes we may need to hear what they say. Otherwise, it is you who will fall, not them. We must pluck the loophole given to the devil. We must stop sin. And so when we are a blessed child of God, the devil will want to attack us most. And so we have to keep reflecting. Are there certain works of the devil, or are there certain sins of our own? So when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, it is to tell us that every day we have sins that we need to confess. So every day, for Christians to confess sin and to repent, that should be something that is very common, that is not legalism. This is this sensitivity towards sin and toward being defiled. We don't want to have hidden sin in our life. So some people, they do not have very strong sexual desires, but in terms of finances, they are always greedy for unrighteous gains. Now, these two are the same. Because if you indulge in one area, and you may be stronger or cleaner in other areas, but if you indulge in one area, that means your whole life is easy to indulge. So that is a nature. So if in one area, God has cut you to in your heart through His word, I know that certain things is not so easy to let go, but you still have to face it until one day you have no choice. And after going through a lot of struggle, you have to eventually put it down. And when you put it down, you also know that it's not just to let go one time. You need this resolution. And you need to seriously face it by prayers so that one day you need to cut off that area in which maybe you are greedy over unrighteous gains, or maybe you need to cut off completely from sexual immorality and so on. So you need every strength in your life to overcome sin and devil. So do not think that you can relax in this area and God can understand, or in that area you relax a bit. No. When you do that, that's not what the Bible teaches us. And also, we must also not overestimate the work of Satan. Now, the devil Satan, when we do not overestimate him, means we must not give him too much glory. No, the devil, he is not all-knowing, all-present, because there is no divinity within Satan. So the kingdom of light is not, the kingdom of darkness is not the same as the kingdom of light. Now the devil is far below God, although sometimes the devil seems to be strong in our eyes. But Satan is not equal with God. So we have to understand that in the sovereignty of God, there is freedom. So where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom there. Now that is also a deception of Satan. Now, sometimes we talk too much about the devil, sometimes we talk too little of him. So when we talk too much about Satan, then we talk lesser of sin. So that is another ploy of the devil. Now, Satan, he is a force of darkness. Now, that force has no morals within it. Perhaps he will tempt you or lead us to sin, but he will not control us to sin. So when you overemphasize Satan, that is also a way of looking down on him. So we need every strength to follow the Lord. Next, we need to evaluate what is the degree of our hunger. So up to a point, so when we face our faith, we must not underestimate Satan and sin, yet we also need to go back to the truth that God is in control in all things, because in all things God has given us authority to overcome our enemies. Now every time when we talk about this, we are stressed because we face our weakness and we seem to be unable to find the strength. But one question we need to ask ourselves is, what is the degree of our hunger? And why do we ask this? Because many a times, God says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why did God allow us to know this? Because being hungry and thirsty for God will determine how much we will pursue God. It will question us whether we have spent enough time in the Word of God to focus on the Word of God. Have we sufficiently pursued the Word of God? Why is it that we are not hungry enough? Now, in this world, there's a lot of realities. For example, if our child gets sick, or our family members go for certain surgery, or in our work, we are very busy. All these are the realities of our faith and realities of our life. And sometimes, for our work, we have no choice. Because if we do not do, they may send us back to China or Malaysia, and we have no choice to, and we cannot remain in Singapore. So there are certain realities to face. But my question is this. I'm sorry to say this, but I really want to ask. In private, it's hard to talk about this. I've worked before in the outside world, in the secular world. Sometimes if you have worked long enough in this world, you will also think, what is the purpose? Every day we labor like this, like a slave. At home, we serve family members. Am I just living for these worldly affairs? Won't I feel empty if I just want to fulfill tasks of this life? Don't I have eternal life? So this is a question I want to pose. Of course, sometimes we also invite trouble for ourselves. After believing in Christ, we thought that if I have a certain salary, then we have money installment here and there, and then we create trouble for ourselves because you have to keep toiling and laboring to pay off your installments. And all these are realities. I know it's not so easy, it's not so fast. You cannot tell your boss, I don't want to work anymore. No, the boss will send you back to your home country immediately. But my point is, if we do not just live for this life, if we do not just manage our own family, but if we have a mind of eternity, then we have to consider, how about brethren living? Now, some people, they just come as they wish. But for some people, it is really difficult for them because they have to take care of many other things in order to come to church. But my point is, pray. So we need to pray. Because you need to grow. You need this life. Otherwise, you will feel empty. Otherwise, how can you go on living in this way? So where is your new temperament in the Lord? So how hungry are we? We must see the unseen spiritual truth. So when we face weakness, is our repentance sufficient? What is so difficult about repentance? If you truly face the Lord and you face yourself, then you realize it's not just being willing once or twice, but if you want to repent before God, you'll be so resolute that you will never do it again. So you have to directly and uprightly face this. Of course, whether you sin again is another matter, but you are totally not willing to do it again. And you commit your emotions and will to God and ask God to help you. And tell God that, God, help me, I want to submit to you. You need to be very alert and vigilant in this. And we need such grace. So at this point, we realize this is not easy. So here I want to add one more point. Now, if we do not have true revival, we will not have true reformation. So what does this mean? when we talk about there's a lot of false teachings, even Apostle Peter in the book of 2 Peter, he especially emphasized that there are false prophets and false teachers and teachings. But before that, he keep mentioning that we must live a holy life. Because without a holy life, then you realize all these truth, correct truth and doctrines that you want to say, you are unable to say it. And you may even distort the doctrine. But if you are holy, you know that you have no choice but to pursue reformation and pure teaching. Now, a very clean life. Now, this year, our theme is holiness, but it's still not enough. We need to train more in this area. God is greater than our sin. The problem is with our hunger. Our problem is why can't we use the power of God? And the problem is we cannot give our sin an excuse. For example, we who are leaders, we need to have this personal holiness. And this is not a one-off thing. Every day, you need to come before God. You need to train in this. So this is about training. Now, many believers, they can see visions, or when they open the Bible, they can easily interpret the Bible and get insights, and even correct insights. And some people, they pursue spiritual matters, and in the church, they serve zealously and they pursue spiritual matters, but the problem is if you want to pursue a spiritual, true life, do you know how much kind of training in godliness you need in order to achieve this? It's not one time, two times for you to overcome certain sin. I also slowly realized this is not by opening, this is not by turning on certain hymns or message to numb yourself and you get some insight. Sometimes I did it last time. I turn on the music, I get high, and then when I off the music, my spiritual life also declines together with the music when it's turned off. So how can we lift up our spiritual life? In fact, the Bible mentioned about all this. You need to train in holiness. This is a form of discipline. Now, the Bible didn't use the word discipline in terms of training discipline, but we need to discipline and train ourselves. So when you face people, now we have cell group. After a longer while, you realize that between person and person, it is not easy to live with one another. This is another difficulty of the faith. To love people is easier said than done. Because when you talk about love, you need to put down your own self. You need to put down certain, you need to endure certain troublesome or inconvenient things. So to love others means to cover others' wrongs and sin. You need to forgive others. But you realize it's not so easy. It's not so easy to cover others' wrong. So if people humiliate you or don't understand you or if they don't talk by logic, there are such cases. But do not be surprised by them. These are common things. Do not feel surprised at this when people hurt you. And they may even become your enemies. So how can you love them? Now, what does Jesus show us? Jesus loves his enemies and those who pierce him, he can even love. So when God asks us to train in love, that is for the purpose of understanding Jesus' work on the cross. It's not just by enduring and loving and after that grumbling, but to do it willingly without grumble. In other words, you treat loving others and sacrificing for others as a form of training to train your own spiritual nature to draw near to God, to understand the essence of the gospel, to restore the perfect faith. And when you have this in your life, you realize that that is a privilege and honor. When you do that, it's an honor because you know that God himself sees it and God is pleased with this. And so you do this by facing God. So sometimes when you do it, people give you trouble. Now if you sin and people give you trouble, you know you deserve it. But sometimes when you do something, you didn't get any benefit. Then you will, and in such case, then you will have reward from God in future and in present. Because you know what you want to get is training in life in holiness. And so when there is true revival, then you can speak about God's word correctly in a balanced way. Then the next generation can have a true revival. So we need revival. So first there needs to be revival. Then after that, then you can have reformation. Because things of life, such as shepherding people and showing people concern, these are very good things that God has given us. But because we are humans, we may not do it perfectly. But in our faith living, we continue to train in godliness. And so, in the course of that, we know we need the teaching of God's pure word. So, we need to reform what you have been taught about the truth. Let me just share one example. For example, when we talk about the gospel, when I shepherd the Christ Life Church of Johor Bahru, I keep having to go back to talk about the basic gospel message. And I realize when I go back to talk about basic gospel message, if I do not discover the pure faith or correctly receive conviction from the Word of God and understand God's way and understand God's Word the way God meant it, if I didn't do that, then I realize I'm just repeating the message without any purpose and without strength also. So I slowly realize that gospel is what we need to always go back to discover, to reform, to the true meaning of the gospel. So what is the gospel? Now the blood of Christ will cleanse us. That is the gospel. And so the gospel is the power of God. And gospel tells us there is a goal of the gospel. It's no longer we ourselves, but there is a direction of God and purpose of God. So when you think about the gospel, you will think about preaching the gospel. So when we restore the gospel, what does the gospel say? The gospel says, does my sin rebuild me? If yes, then I need to repent. But repent also to not just repent till you're just sorrowful and thinking that you're remorseful means you have repented. We need to know that Christ has already cleansed us with his blood. So the kind of repentance that God demands from us is to cleanse ourselves in our conscience. It is not just a sense of feeling good. Now, are my actions falling short? Of course. Certainly, sometimes. but the righteousness of Christ has been given to me, credited to me. So what is the righteousness of Christ? What is the love of Christ? So I follow Him, and slowly I will understand what is meant by when you reformed your life, you will get this assurance that your actions will not fall short. Now, will Satan and sin keep attacking me till I cannot bear it? But the gospel tells us that even one hair is counted by God. So God will protect us and keep us to the very end. So I can keep pressing on and moving on. So we need all this so that we can go a further distance. Do not think that we do not need comfort, because when we are not comforted, we ourselves cannot do it on our own. We humans are not so strong. So we need to know how to deny ourselves, carry our own cross, not carry Jesus' cross, but we carry our own cross to follow Jesus. Because God's work is just in my life. And so God has elected me. He also propelled me. And so I have no excuse. His life is in me. It's not just Christ's death is on me, but Christ's life is in me. So there is surely a way out to overcome all these difficulties. So we must always seek out and test and approve. So I just want to give you one example. We need to restore the gospel. When we restore the full and correct gospel, we will know that although we are sinners, we will not look down on ourselves, but we can accept what God has placed in our life. So we will treat God as God, and when we are humans, we will view ourselves soberly as just mortal beings. Now, after Peter denied Christ 3 times, he experienced the descending of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the New Testament, it's mostly church epistles. So it's very theological. All the epistles explain the truth of God. So life must come first. Then after that, we need to be reformed to the truth. So to what extent should we build our faith? And it must be to the extent where we find ourselves in captivity of God's word. So let me give you one example. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said that I can do all things by Him who gives me strength. But I really want to tell you that when we say we can do all things in Christ, that also means we can be satisfied in Christ in all things. But if you go against Christ, then what happens? Is it we cannot do anything? No, it is. If we go against Christ, maybe I cannot even do what I want to do. Because what the Lord's word says, then that's how we should do. We humans are not so strong. What I want to say is, in this spiritual battle, when we are facing the harshness of our faith, we move on and we train ourselves, and after that we realize what we want to get is to have a clear conscience in our spirit. Now, on earth, we may still face disappointments and setbacks. But then, we need to be sensitive to the Word of God. And when we are truly sensitive to the Word of God, we will find true freedom. Knowing God's promise will make us strong. So true freedom comes when you are sensitive to the Word of God. So perhaps we may do many things. Maybe some people encourage you, but you know, encouragement is not to slow down your pace. Encouragement perhaps is to tell you in which area have you fallen short of. So there's certain harshness even in encouragement. But we need to come to terms. We need to face this thing in the properly. And so when your inner conscience is strengthened, then you can have true freedom. Now, next is we need to recognize that all sorts of discord may happen, but victory over Satan is seeing the kingdom of God on the march, opening doors of opportunity for the gospel. So in the church, between brethren and among families, in the path of faith, whether we are strong or whatever, we may face certain discord or certain loopholes. Sometimes in the church, if you talk about very good brethren relationship, it's like, I can understand you, you understand me. How can you 100% understand another person? Of course, when you can understand, your words can be relevant. As we grow in our life, we can understand people more and more, or empathize people more and more. And we are careful with our words. How much to say to this person. We can relax with this person, or we can be more direct with another person. But in terms of psychological way, we need to understand that how many times can we 100% hit very accurately and understand a person perfectly, because it's almost impossible. What we need is everyone to come before God, to face God and live. So sometimes certain people cannot completely understand you, and because of this, you just reject his encouragement. That's not his loss, but your loss. So now in the cell group, if you realize, in my current cell group, we need to move toward sound teaching. Shepherding is what we emphasized last time. And it will happen naturally, but how can you... But there's many places where they have strong shepherding. But to be able to have sound teaching, that is very lacking nowadays. So the one who teaches is very important. So I also urge cell group members, you need to listen more to cell group leaders and pray for them, that in teaching God's word, do not make them too preoccupied with other concerns, so that they can be trained more in God's truth. So you pray for your leader. When you interrupt your leader as if you're trying to help your leader, actually, you should be giving your leader the chance to preach. Now, I know my cell group members, they are willing to let me train myself. So they always look at me for a word. So that makes me learn. So I need to give the right answer which can truly help people. So in terms of sound teaching, this is important. So we need to read, we can read one verse, one passage. So Jesus saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Why did I choose this verses? Because many a times when we are doing the work of God, if we didn't see this truth, we have to ask ourselves one question. Because as we are busy with many things to do in our ministries, we lead or we attend cell groups, if we didn't confirm this, we also know that our conscience may not be clean enough. Because our conscience didn't face God, we are only following God every day, but we and hoping that God is pleased with our serving. But that is also not correct, because if that's the case, you still have certain accusations and guilt in you, or you don't care about your conscience. Although there's certain discord, but if God gives you the door of evangelism, a certain opportunity to preach the gospel, then you go, you take care, you get in contact. You have to know that certain contact is short-lived. You still need to learn many things. And in the course of learning, then you realize you have to continue to preach and learn the word of God. Then as you continue to learn, then your faith will not grow stagnant. So in terms of being in contact with people, sometimes you will not fully get it, but do not think that you are not pleasing to God, because these are two matters. We cannot ignore our conscience, but we must learn and keep seeing. Just like these 72 people, they return and say, you know, what happened, what evidences we have. But Jesus confirmed with them, you know, that Satan fall like lightning from heaven, telling us also that the kingdom of God is always progressing. So finally, no matter what a person does, there is still sin. So this is where the faith is so difficult. And so this is what we need to come to terms with also. But I want to end this on a profound note. So what about this sin? This sin makes us humans, whether it's in the life of others or whether it's in our own life, when you want to serve others, maybe you realize there's a lot of sin within you. You have your own motive, your hypocrisy. Or when you want to help others, you realize their falsehood. So they show some of their true colors. But you must not be surprised, because these are very common. We have our own struggles. But all this we have to overlook. Oh, sorry, these are not for us to overlook, not for us to cover till we don't mention. Because we cannot allow sin to grow, because otherwise the church is set for destruction. But we have to understand how to handle human relationship. We need to know how to approach people privately, to talk more. Why should we do that? Because truly there will be judgment. Conscience is so that we can be prepared to face God's judgment. If the conscience doesn't come to terms with God's judgment, no one will talk about Christ or redemption. Nobody will find true liberation. And his liberation is just fake one. So when we talk about conscience, We cannot anyhow allow our conscience to be rebuilt, because if we say too much, and human's conscience is over rebuilt, then what happens? The person will be so accused that he collapses, and then God will judge you, not judge him, because you overdo it. You cause his conscience to be unable to face God correctly. On the other hand, maybe we are too fast in getting rid of his accusations. Perhaps in his heart, he's already rebuilt in certain way, but you quickly cleanse him from his guilt and not using God's word. And when you do that, judgment is also on us. Because when you do that, the person is not convict of his sin and he cannot face God. And so, redemption and healing cannot come to him. So human conscience, if it's rebuked at that point, we need to correctly and properly shepherd that person. Even for ourselves, when God reveals certain things to us, we need to be very careful about it, because it would bring us before God. So the harshness of our faith is so that it can direct us to live before God. Because we have to witness to all the people in the world. Now, giving testimony is not to be very high. Of course, we are joyful because of God, but to give a testimony is so that to bring people before God to put down their sin, and He Himself will get complete liberation. Because our home is not on earth but in heaven. Now let's all pray. Lord, today, please help us through today's message. If there's profound or hard areas, God, please personally help us to understand it. Lord, we also ask that your word can display its effect in our lives so that we can humble down before you. Lord, we also know that there are many things from young to old. Maybe we have given ourselves too much relaxation and excuses, and we have discounted your word. But Lord, please cleanse our conscience with your spirit through your word, so that when we face you and face others and face ourselves, we can have a clear conscience and strengthened conscience and be bold and courageous to do what you want us to do. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.